This morning's New Testament reading comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. Because he traveled around a great deal to minister to churches around the world, the Apostle Paul wrote many, many letters to those churches. And this particular letter was written at a time of disunity in the church. People were having trouble agreeing about anything. The Christian faith was still young, and everyone was still trying to figure out exactly what it meant to be a Christian and to live a faithful life. This reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 23. This is found on page 1781 in the Pew Bible. "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." This is the word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Recently, we've been talking a lot about calling and what it means to be called as Christians. And in this passage, Paul frames that discussion around his own calling as an apostle. When we think of great preachers and prophets of the Bible, his is a name that frequently comes up. We have in the Bible these passionate letters that Paul wrote to the various churches, and in some places we have record of his preaching. He was highly influential, and I can only imagine that he was a great preacher, although he may have been a bit long-winded. We do have one story in Acts where Paul was preaching for so long that a man fell asleep and fell out of the window he was sitting in. Please stop me if I'm ever preaching so long you run the risk of falling out the window. But there's little doubt that Paul was an engaging and passionate proclaimer of the gospel, which makes this an easy passage to gloss over in that context. It almost sounds a little bit like Paul is boasting about his great preaching skills that he claims he has no right to boast about. But if we glance back a chapter, we can see that Paul is not boasting about his preaching, but he's using it as an example of how we are to live out the Christian calling. This passage happens during a discussion about how Christians should interact with everyone around them. Often we forget in the shuffle of life that we are all set aside. And nobody is more set aside than somebody else. A calling isn't just something for elders or deacons or those who are called away to be overseas missionaries. Calling is part of our baptism. It's part of our Christian identity, of who we are in the Spirit. There's no person too young or too old or too smart or too not as smart or too new at this, or too busy, or too important, or too unimportant to have a Christian calling. But then we bump up against that age-old question of, then what is the Christian calling? Paul says, preach the gospel. Preach it like the prophets of old who said, haven't you heard? But preaching is hard. Sometimes even figuring out what to say when preaching can take painful hours, let alone figuring out how to say it, and then standing up in front of a room full of people who trust you, I hope you trust me, and saying it. Could Paul possibly be saying that we are all supposed to be preachers? I don't actually like the way that the New International Version, which is what we read this morning, translates the word preach in this passage. The word that Paul uses in the Greek is much broader than the word preach like we understand it today. He wasn't directing this passage at preachers. He wasn't just bragging about his own mad skills. He's talking here about proclamation. I think using the word preach here can actually stand in the way of our full understanding of this passage. Proclamation has more depth. It's more versatile. Paul did not just preach to people. He became like a Jew to the Jews, like a Gentile to the Gentiles. He was weak for the weak, not under the law for those who were not under the law. There's something else going on here. Paul is telling the church that it needs to start taking a look at things from a different perspective, from the perspective of someone else, someone different. He's not saying they have to agree, but they have to be willing to see it from another person's place in the road. This, says Paul, is part of proclamation. We can't argue people into religion, but we can walk beside them and try to see what things look like from where they're standing. The whole church has this calling, which means we are all called both together and individually to something really important. Something that is so important, Paul says he is compelled to do it. Paul is so moved by the gospel of Jesus, the good news that God loves us and forgives us, that he can't do anything but proclaim the gospel to all people. This is a difficult calling. It's hard to walk with people from different places and different times and different neighborhoods and different backgrounds than we are from. Especially if we don't keep focus on why it matters to walk with them. There's a lot of pressure to be trendy these days, to attract a certain group of people to the church, like the ones with more money or the ones that are young families with kids, or whoever it seems like we're missing right now. There's a pressure on churches to have big numbers when it comes to attendance at church or at Sunday school or vacation Bible school. It feels like as numbers dwindle, it's more important now than ever to get new people in the pews. Churches that show growth in attendance or programs or bank accounts are seen as successful. And churches who haven't latched on to the latest marketing trend are seen as old-fashioned or dying. But Paul says that our motivation for preaching, for proclaiming, shouldn't be bragging rights. It's not about how many people have joined the church's Facebook group or how many young adults are on the contemporary worship team. It's great to have large groups of Christians worshiping together. It's wonderful to have youth and life in our classrooms. I'm not saying that those are bad things, but those are not our reason for proclaiming the gospel. If we're proclaiming the gospel solely in order to get people in the doors, we are proclaiming at best a watered-down semi-gospel, and at worst, a sad, warped little gospel that isn't really good news at all. We get so-called gospels that look more like the self-help aisle at the bookstore than they do the story of the King of Kings becoming part of the human race as an ultimate act of pure love. We get health and wealth, or name it and claim it, gospels that simply fluff up the egos of the rich and discount the lives of the faithful poor. Many of you know that I love reading stories of our Christian brothers and sisters from times gone by. One of my favorites to read about is Francis of Assisi. And my favorite story about Francis is one that I think helps us get to what Paul is saying in this passage. And as he went on his way with great fervor, Francis did everything with great fervor. Francis lifted up his eyes and saw on some trees by the wayside a great multitude of birds. And being much surprised, he said to his companions, "Wait for me here by the way while I go and preach to my little sisters, the birds." And entering into the field, he began to preach to the birds which were on the ground, and suddenly all those also on the trees came round him, and all listened while Francis preached to them, and did not fly away until he had given his blessing. I feel pretty confident in saying that Francis didn't preach to the birds because he was looking to fill a few pews. I'm pretty sure he didn't preach to them because he felt they were in jeopardy of hell. He was just so full of the joy of the good news of Jesus Christ that he preached to a bunch of birds on the side of the road. He didn't actively seek out birds to preach to. He just saw them and said, "Whoa, birds, hang on, guys, I'll be right back." That's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about seeing the people around you. For him, it was the Jews, the Gentiles, the weak. For us, it might be the young or the old or those of another race or gender or social status or income level. But seeing them and walking alongside of them. Seeing them and seeing as them. And he wants us to do this for the joy of the gospel. This will gain people, yes, but not for the sake of bigger attendance or bigger budgets. For the sheer joy of proclaiming the gospel that each of us are called to proclaim. No wonder Paul talked so much about freedom. Proclaiming gospel doesn't feel like a freeing experience when we're beholden to numbers and worried about results. Friends, we are redeemed. We are forgiven. God chose to save mankind. And that choice cost God's only son, Jesus. That's some serious love. That's the sort of love that makes a person want to shout from the mountaintops or preach to the birds. No wonder Paul felt compelled to proclaim the gospel. Today, as we go into the rest of our lives, into our worlds full of other people and places, walk side by side with those people. Live in the joy of the gospel and allow that joy of proclamation and of walking with people to take over. Preach to the birds. And when people ask you what has you so wound up, you can, like Isaiah, ask, "Haven't you heard?"